praise him. He's been good. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Rogers, and the New Bethlehem family for honoring us and letting us be a part of 122 years. It's a great honor for us as well. We're happy to greet you in the name of Christ, our Savior, and to have the chance again to direct human growth and development toward God's objective. Glad to have with me today my wife, Natalie. Natalie, if you'll wave your hand. Two of our members, Miss Geneva, our church secretary, and Miss Claire, our Sunday school teacher. Also, I have some family here from the Birmingham area. Two of my nieces and great nephews, and one that's almost to be a nephew with us today. Will you all just wave your hand? God bless again. I want to stay with your theme, your governing idea here, a church operating under the power and authority of God's will. I want to take a topical approach rather than a what is called a direct textual approach to delivering the message, and I'm going to advocate three things that a church operating under the power and authority of God does. Now, for your scripture, if you just want to jot down a few of those, Matthew 6:33, Matthew 16:26, James 5:19, and a few more. But with a topical approach, it's slightly different. It doesn't necessarily have a governing text, but the message is the same. Now, I believe strongly, and I advocate, that the church is one of the most important institutions or spiritual fellowships for our moral and spiritual well-being. It has a tremendous impact on the quality and character of community morally, economically, socially, and politically, because it shapes the mind and character of individuals. Yes. Marriage creates family. Family creates communities. Community creates society. And church has an enormous responsibility of directing human growth and development toward God's objectives. After all, what comes out of your homes goes into the rest of the world. And some of the trouble in the rest of the world might be because of trouble in the home. And we need church to stay together and be strong and operate under the will of God so that the home, so that what comes out of the home goes into the rest of the world and make the world a better place to live. In Revelation chapter 2, God addresses a decay of not only in an affection for righteousness, but a decay in the works of righteousness, which affects the moral, the economic, the socio-political fibers of every community. And the church was encouraged to reprioritize the will of God. And I believe this makes a great message for the church today. Because it's easy to get caught up in the psychological entanglements, in the trends and the fads, the fashions and the phases of things around you, and drift away from being governed by the power and authority of God. Therefore, I want to advocate, pontificate, aggressively argue for three things about a church that operates under the power and authority of God. First of all, it is a church that prioritizes the rule or the governance of God and His righteousness. A church that operates under the authority and power of God must prioritize the rule of God and the righteousness of God. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you." Now, the kingdom of God refers to the rule of God over creation. The church must make the rule of God her most important priority. See, there is a principle that actuates everything God wants to give you. That there are some things that everything else rests upon. That there are some things that you've got to do to get what God wants you to have. And sometimes we drift away from those principles and get caught up and tangled up in other things. And God speaks to us and reminds us that He must be a first priority. Look at this, if you will. There's a principle that everything else rests upon. If you want good communication skills, that rests upon learning your ABCs. Learning to spell. good money management and financial security will come when we learn to add, subtract, and multiply, that it rests upon some other principle. Good credit, it don't fall out of the sky. That was a principle that it rests upon. And what God wants to give rests upon putting God first. You want a better family and a better marriage, a better quality of life. Jesus said, do this. Make this your number one priority. David put it this way. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Over here, I have everything that I need. I've made him Lord in my life. I've made him first in my life. And when I made him first in my life, he provided me with everything else that I needed. See, when you have a king in your kingdom, you must trust the rule of your king. If you introduce him as your king in the house, I thought I'd get some amen out of you men on that one. You got to let him rule you. You have to trust the king and not the giant. You have to believe that your king is greater than your giant, greater than your dark valleys, greater than your high mountains. You have a king in the room. You don't fear the mountain when you have a king. You don't fear the risk or the failure. You trust the king. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. And he rules through your faith. He rules through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he rules through his word. The most important place of God's presence is not necessarily in heaven. But the most important place of his governance is in you. See, you can have heaven right here when you let God rule. When you let him govern, this church can be a heavenly place when she continues to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, your king's righteousness, your highest good comes from the rule of God. Your highest joy, greatest peace and tranquility comes from God. His way is higher than our ways. A church that is governed by the power and authority of God is a church
that put God first. A church that operates upon the principle that causes godly things to happen. Secondly, it is a church that makes the salvation of the soul the focus of her energy and activity. It is a church that we cannot drift away from the salvation of souls. Everything that she does should be in some way connected to the salvation of the soul. James 5:19 says this, "Brethren, if any of you error from the truth, and one converts him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner or gets him back on the right path from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." And then Jesus said this in Matthew 16, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man exchange for his soul?" God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. I know that many of us like what we see in the mirror. But I want you to know that that's going to change. You are more than what you see in the mirror. Yeah, you're standing tall because of that long, silky black hair. It ain't going to stay that way. You think you're a little better because you caramel and other the dark chocolate. That ain't going to matter after a while. You're more than what we are, more than what we see. The soul is that immaterial element of who you are. That element that science and technology cannot fix. That element of you that degree cannot straighten up. That element that only the power and the authority of God. Yes, science can fix some physical things. Things get loose. Science can tighten them up. You ain't got enough in one place. Science can take some and move it and put it there. But the soul is the most significant thing about you, and science is lost when it comes to fixing the soul. Yeah, community needs a church that operates under the power and authority of God when it comes to the soul. You see, there's nothing equivalent to your soul. The loss of the soul is infinitely greater than gaining the world. Your soul is the most significant thing about you. It's not the clothes you wear, not the job that you work on. You can find no equivalent for within the whole range of your possessions that can equal or deliver the soul when it gets in trouble. You see, we normally look at outward behavior and activity, and what we see is an indication, really, of what sphere is controlling the soul. Events and circumstances are simply the experiences of what's going on man's inner world. And the outer things that you see are simply the effects caused by what power is governing the man, the soul. We look at motion. We look at geometry. We look at symmetry. And we think we see something beautiful because it has the symmetry that we like. But Jesus reminds us we better find out about what's going on the soul, because the motion we see is an effect caused by what's happening in man's soul. He cusses a lot because he's got some soul trouble. Don't throw him away. Don't write him off. He's got some soul trouble. His soul is operating under the wrong power, the wrong rule, under the wrong governance. He needs the church to step in and show him the error of his race. He stirred up mess. All the time won't act right in the house. That's some soul trouble. He overdrinks and smokes. He's got some soul trouble. She's bitter and angry and arrogant and won't cook for you. No divorce her. That's just soul trouble. And steals and gets put in jail sometime. Soul trouble. All right, thank you, brother. What will a man give in exchange for a soul? David bargained for Bathsheba. Samson bargained for Delilah. Lot's wife bargained for Sodom. Haman bargained for Jezebel. Will Smith bargained for Jada. I'm almost done. Don't bargain your soul. What if you gain the whole world? Gain that symmetry that you want, but lose yourself. lose your authentic self and become entangled. For man loses his soul to anger and to guilt, to bitterness and hatefulness, and to unforgiveness. What has he profited? A church that operates under the power and authority of God is a church that must maintain her focus on the salvation of the soul, because the activity that you see in the world, that you hear about on the news, are actions or motions of what is happening on the soul, in the mind of a man. And you architect a good future for that person when you deal with what is going on his soul. Thirdly, and finally, a church operating under the power and authority of God is a church that walks in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Paul, the writer, said, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust or the power. You won't be controlled by the power of the flesh." Romans 8:1, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not of the flesh, but after the Spirit." To walk in the Spirit means to walk in the mindfulness of God. Church that operates under the power of God, a person that operates under the power of God, is a person who walks being mindful of God. Yeah, you're going to walk with God in mind. Paul was writing to a young church that did not understand the fundamentals of salvation. They did not understand the balance between their humanity and their spirituality. Paul says to them, "With the mind, I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin." With my mind, he says, I walk and I live, I minister and I act and I react, being mindful of God's law, being mindful of God's will, being mindful of God's way to do things, and not my own way. His prayer for the church was about a righteousness and the way that they had established that was not mindful of God. So he says to them, "With my mind, I serve the law of God. And with my body, I serve the law of sin." They did not understand that kind of balance. They did not understand how to balance that. They did not understand their multidimensional nature. They did not understand how to balance their body, their mind, and their spirit. Well, let me put it this way. When you walk in the flesh and somebody slaps you on one cheek, you're more likely to slap them back. But when you walk in the spirit, yes, you are mindful of God. I don't close here now, but all things are possible when you walk in the mindfulness of God. Jesus took two fish and five barley loaves and fed 5,000 because he stayed mindful of God. Oh, yes, blind Bartimaeus, yeah, Lord, received his sight because he stayed mindful of what God could do. And David slew a man, Goliath, because he stayed mindful of God. So then, as you go forward, Bethlehem, yes, always put God first. Yes, why? When you put God first, yeah, Lord, God will, the Lord will, he so will provide. And always walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you'll stay mindful of God. And God always lead you to the greatest end. 122 years, you've stayed mindful of God. You walked in the Spirit. You focused on the salvation of souls. And you made God a first priority. I believe if you continue to do this, you'll double what you are now. You've done this. God wants to do more with you. Has sent you a warrior in Pastor Jefferson. Walk in the Spirit. Put God first. And make the salvation of souls the focus of your energy and your activity. God bless.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, give the Lord your life. If you're here today and you need a faith family, come. Come. Need a church home, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come, let the Lord restore you. He wants to do it in your life. Come on, come on. The doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. Come on. 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 Let him do it in your life. If you're here, you need to be saved. Come on. Come on. You need to be restored. Come on. Come on. Preaching merits an invitation. Come on. Come on. Come on, 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 come on. The doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. Come on. That's preaching at its best. Make God priority. Maintain the focus of salvation of souls. Walk in the Spirit. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. I just believe that there's somebody else here that needs salvation, that needs restoration. Come on, let me hear you. Come. Make up. Come on. Somebody here can be a witness that he'll make you new. Come on to Jesus. You got time. Come on, come on. We ought to be praying all over the house. We ought to be praying all over the house. That the Lord would touch some soul. Touch another soul. Come on, let me hear you. Accepted Jesus into your heart. as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that He has come into your heart and has forgiven you of all your sins? Now you are a son of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want you to say with me, Lord, come into my heart.
Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Lord, for your joy, your pleasure, your holy will. In Jesus' name, forgive me all of my sins. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Amen. This is the first day of the rest of your life with the Lord. Amen. Y'all are coming by Christian Experience. Listen, I want all of you to be a part of orientation class taught on Sunday morning. Sister Woods and Sister Oliver, they team up and they will make sure that you all are assimilated through the teaching that we have here at the church. We'll baptize you next Sunday, so y'all come prepared. Amen for your baptism. Amen. May God bless you. All right, sister, who do we have?
We have Jada and Jaden Harris for baptism. We have Denitra Harris and Jerry Gaston on Christian Experience.
All right. All right. Let me deal with these two first. Jaden and Jalen, your twins. All right. All right. So that means that you all want to be baptized, which means to be publicly identified with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to know, do you believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son? Do you believe He came down from heaven to earth to die on Calvary's cross to save you from your sins? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you believe He died?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You believe He was raised on the third day?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you believe that He has come into your hearts to save?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want you to say with me, Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Be the captain.
Be the captain and caretaker of my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Jesus, come into my life. Take control. You are my Lord and my Savior. You are the captain and caretaker of my life. I receive you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on. This is the first day of the rest of your life with the Lord. Amen. Sister, you come by Christian Experience, and Brother Jerry, you come back Christian Experience. That means that y'all are saved already. Amen. Y'all already know the Lord as Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. All right. Now, we have orientation, and I want you all to take part in orientation, to assimilate into the church so you know what our doctrine is as it pertains to salvation, as it pertains to fellowship, as it pertains to partnering with God in your giving, and as it pertains to studying the Word of God. Those are foundational things that will enrich and bless your life. Do y'all agree to take orientation? Again, Sister Woods and Sister Oliver, I want you all to meet them in their class on Sunday at 9:20. Amen. And listen, when you all get through with Sunday orientation, I want you to be assimilated into your Sunday school class, because Christian education is foundational. All right. Don't look upon it as meager and minute, and it's something that you don't need. You need Christian education, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you agree to do that? Amen. Come on. Bless the Lord, New Bethlehem. Thank you all, babies. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good, and He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Listen, we're going to slip right on into our mortgage burning ceremony. Our mortgage burning ceremony. I ask that all members of New Bethlehem stand. All members of New Bethlehem stand. You have our litany. It is by the grace of God that we have been able to pay off the mortgage on the Family Life Center. We therefore meet today to transform the loan of indebtedness into an aroma of praise unto God. Father, we give you thanks for all those who have gone before us, who faithfully prayed, gave, and worked so that the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed from one generation to another.
God, we give you thanks.
Father, we ask that your hand of power, provision, and protection be upon the Life Center, that it remain a place of salvation, a place where Christians gather to worship you, learn of you, honor you, and grow together as the body of Christ.
Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Come on, God. Amen. Acts, finance chairperson, deacons and trustees to come. Remain standing, if you will. Come on, deacons and trustees, financial chairperson. Amen. This was begun under Dr. Walker. And certainly we thank God for allowing us to take part in seeing this financial debt eradicated in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. 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 Come on. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Amen. We turn it over to Reverend David and Sister Nicole McCoy for appreciation.
Amen. Amen. All glory to God. Amen. We thank God for Jesus, amen. We thank God for everything. First, we want to thank our pastor. This was his vision, amen. We have a great pastor here at this church. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for our pastor. We thank God for him for actually selecting us and actually having us to share this program. It was a lot to do in a short period of time. Therefore, we had to put together a team of people to help us. We have a committee who helped us. We didn't do this by ourselves. We ask that our committee stand at this time. Nicole and myself, we chaired this committee, but brother and sister Wilson, they helped us. They were the co-chairs on this committee. And we have a lot of people on our committee. In fact, we was teased at a lot of times because we had so many people. But at the time frame when it was given to us, we had so much to do because Pastor wanted to make this a grand affair, a grand weekend. He wanted everybody from all ages to have fun, from the little kids all the way up to the seniors. And I hope you had fun. It was exciting. It was a challenge. But we all worked together as a team. I appreciated working with them. I told them what Pastor wanted. We worked together. We got it accomplished. And I thank God for Jesus for doing that. Our committee worked really hard. Sometimes they had to drive across town as they got off work for meetings. And we did a lot of things together. Special thanks to Sister Browning and the T-shirt committee. She took upon the T-shirts. She took it herself. She formed her own committee. And what she did was she went to work with the T-shirts. We didn't have any issues. And we thank God for her. We thank God for those who were all involved in this, especially on our committee and those that was on the program. We thank God for those who are in the background, people didn't even know about who was a part of it. People wanted to help, and they volunteered to help, and they came out and they worked hard and worked diligent in order to bring pastors a thing to reality. And so what they did was they did this, and we thank God for that. We thank God for Jesus for just leading and guiding us, enabling us to work in unity, work together as a team, work together, and we actually have fun. We had fun on yesterday, and we climax today with a great service. Thank God for Dr. Daniels, for Worth Mohai. We thank God for him. I thank God for my wife for working with me. She worked so diligent and doing things. We work well together as a team under pressure, and we thank God for that. We want to thank Sister McKevin. She worked diligently as well. My wife, she spent a lot of time in her office on the phone and working with Sister McKevin. We thank God for the media ministry. They worked diligently. The choir and those who have played a part in it. Thank God for Brother Harris. Him and Brother McLean, you know, because they work with us with having meetings and things. And I would call him and tell him we're going to have a meeting and how many people was coming. And he would set things up. And I really appreciate everything that everybody did. We thank God for Brother Long. He did approach us about the video that he had. He said that he had worked on this and he just wanted the church to see it during the 122nd church anniversary program, especially since it was the mortgage burning and doing what he had to do. And so I thank God for what we did, and I appreciate Pastor for actually entrusting his vision to us and allowing us to do it. And we worked hard in order to get it done and get it accomplished.
All right. Amen. The race is not given to the swift, but it's given to the one that endures the end. And we did to the end. Thank you all so much, my committee. I appreciate you all so much. And I think my husband said most of everything. But I just want to thank you all. I don't like to talk much, but I like to just move around much. But I don't like to talk much. But I thank my committee. Under pressure. But I want to thank everyone. The New Bethlehem family, you all are so wonderful.
Yes.
Yesterday was awesome.
Yes.
God let it shine for us.
Yes.
We prayed, we prayed, we prayed, and God answered.
Yes.
And he answered today also. It was thundering this morning, but he knew we was going to be in the inside, and he let the sun came out. And we just thank God for everything.
Yes.
I want to thank my husband also for enduring with me. yes, I like to get the job done, and I like things in excellence. And that's just a part of me that I like to do things in excellence. And I like to move and make sure everything is in order, decently in order. And I like to thank the program committee, Shantae Lee, thank you so much, Bonetta Titus, Daphne Harris, Demeter Picks, thank you all so much for being on the committee. Jackie Austin, I want to thank you all for accepting me. And my master and mistress ceremony, wow. We was trying to wonder where y'all was coming from, but y'all did a great job. Y'all did awesome. We want to thank you all for accepting it. And I just want to thank the committee. Y'all was so wonderful. Y'all stood there. It wasn't just us. They helped us entirely, and we just thank y'all so much. We couldn't have did it by ourselves. And I just want to thank God for allowing us to do this one more time. One more time, thank God. Only one more time. One more time. We'd like to thank the kitchen committee. How awesome. Kitchen committee was great. We thank them so much because they do an awesome job. They work diligently. They work hard. And we want to thank Jessica Matthews and her committee. Thank you so much. We want to thank Pastor Daniels. Thank you so much. Pastor Daniels, thank you today for that awesome word. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you got to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And I thank God for walking in the Spirit. I thank, as he said, Brother Long, Rick Long, for the video. We want you all to stay after it. We have the ending part. I think that's it. Thank Pastor Rogers for allowing us to do this one more time. Thank you, Lord, for him, for asking us again. We just thank you so much, Pastor Rogers. We'd like to thank Lady Rogers. I love you. Sister Walker, I love you. I want to thank you all for just being a part of my life. Thank you. I'm learning day by day to stand up here in front of people. But I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God opportunity every day. Yes, I do. I just want to thank God. Yes. I couldn't do it without him. I want to thank my co-chair, Sister Blanica Wilson, and her husband, Desmond Wilson. I want to thank you both for just being beside us as we did this program. That's it? He told me that's it. I just want to thank everyone for this opportunity, for letting us do this program. And I think that's it. That's it.
We're going to have to watch Nicole. She act like she's shy. Amen. Listen, wonderful weekend of festivities and fellowship. It has been awesome. And I have thoroughly enjoyed celebrating God in his goodness. And the manifestation of his power, provisions, and presence with us. God is not through with us yet. He is a God who's faithful in all generations. I want to thank the master and mistress of ceremony, the Sims, for the train ride. And no one can do it like Brother Sim. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, committee, to Reverend McCoy and Sister Nicole for heading up the committees. And then thank you for your diligence in working along with them to make sure all of this came to pass. We have crossed the milestone, but there are so many more miles to go.
Amen.
That's why I said God is not through with us yet. I thank God for your diligence in setting up yesterday all of the activities. We had an awesome time. And then on yesterday we had the parade. We shouted and we thank God for financial walls coming down. And thank you for that. Thank you for the fun and games. And then there were so many that contributed on yesterday. of a groom. He had his grill, and he had meat galore. Sister and Brother Williams, they had their cookers and fish cookers, and I just think everybody thought they were cooking fish for the church. And we saw the evidence of Jesus on yesterday, that it was one of those two fish. 5 barley loaves. And they just kept going and kept going, and they just kept going. I saw them sweating. And then, let me tell you what Regina did to me last night. She sent me a picture of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And she said, y'all ate up all the fish, and that's all she had in there. Amen. So I said, my God. So listen, wonderful, wonderful, like I said, Brother Groom and McGrew, yeah, ribs and chicken, and we ate them up too. Amen. So wonderful day on yesterday. We had a chance to have a little fun, and then we topped it off today with a great man of God who preached to us a wonderful message, Dr. Daniels. Amen. His lovely wife and church members. Listen, I'm letting you go. But again, I want to say thank you. Thank you, kitchen committee. Thank you, t-shirt committee. Thank all committees. Thank all of you. Listen, thank all of you for your obedience unto God. Because without your obedience in giving, we would not have burnt the mortgage.
Amen.
In a pandemic,
amen,
we were able to double up. So listen, thank God for all of you and your obedience unto God and your fellowship. Amen. Anything else claim our attention? Who is that? Amen. Bible study books. See Sister Browning. Bible study books. All right, she's out in the foyer. See Sister Browning. Everybody sing.